Solomon said this in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. He says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen, men, women, your words, the things that you say, are the life or death to your marriage.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you listening with us today, and we thank you for tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, After the Honeymoon, as the study of Song of Solomon continues. Now, Pastor.
Isn't it amazing that before the marriage, man, you give, guys. Come on. You give. Oh, here's some flowers. You even look good. You comb your hair. You come on. You know, you keep your car clean. No Dr. Pepper bottles down in the, none of that. You know, and you open the door. I mean, you just give and give and give, and you bring flowers and so forth. And then after the marriage, I'm going to rule. No, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. You know, someone said it this way. It says, in the early years, you fight because you don't understand each other. In the later years, you fight because you do. Listen, don't dishonor what God has joined together. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. Joined together. That word means glued. It means this, that the man and woman's relationship is more permanent and joined than that with a parent and a child relationship. It's a relationship that God has joined together. And so don't do that. Don't try to tear apart what God's put together. Keep yourself together. And it says in verse 9 here, it says, what is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? What are they saying, these daughters of Jerusalem here? Well, they're saying, what's so special about Solomon anyway? I mean, you know, so he left a little bit of myrrh on the door handle. So what? I mean, that's a little Valentine he left you. But you know what? He could have kept knocking. I mean, you know, he could have wooed you a little bit. Oh, what's so special about him? I want you to look at her answer, because the answer that she gives is the most extensive physical description of any character in the entire Old Testament. Watch this in verse 10. She says, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief or literally fairest among 10,000. What does she just say? Women, listen, she said this about her husband. She said, there ain't nobody like him. Nobody. There's not anyone on the face of the earth that's like my Solomon. And may I say something to you? There's no one like Jesus Christ. There's no one like our Lord tonight who is present with us, who died for us, who gave himself for us, who's delivering us from this evil age, who is going to come again for us. There is no one like our Lord and Savior. But she says here about Solomon, there's no one on earth like my man. Women, let me ask you a question. Do you really feel that way about your husband? Because I know you felt that way about him before you married him. There's no one like you. You're the only one that's made my heart go pitter-patter. I am in love. I'm going to be with you forever and ever. And you dream and you see the white picket fence and you've got the house just this way and the kids and all, you know, you see it all down through the centuries and everything, you know. You've got it all videotaped. And she's saying, listen, I love him. But I want you to notice something, men, why she loved him. Why she loved him is because she is speaking about two things here. She's speaking about inward character, okay? In other words, what he is on the inside, and yes, outer appearance. But I want to show you something. Watch this. She says, his head is like the finest gold. His locks, in other words, his hair, are wavy and black as a raven. In other words, she's saying he's a knockout, isn't he? You know, just he's beautiful. In other words, the brightness of his character just comes right through his face. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk. And look at this word now, and fitly set. You know, I thought, I said, now what in the world does that mean, fitly set? So I thought, well, let me just do a good study here. And you know what that really means? It means that when she looks into his eyes anytime and he is looking at her, they're always the same. There's never any anger. There's never any bitterness. Now, I know that's not always true with us, but that's what she's saying. And that they're fitly set. When he looks at me, I know that he loves me with all of his heart. That's what she's saying. And she says, his cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh. In other words, his lips are always full of tenderness and they're full of love. Boy, it sounds like our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. I like this one. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. That always works with me when my wife quotes that. I say, yeah, thank you, honey. Put that on the refrigerator. Okay, never mind. His legs, we're moving on down here. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. What is she saying? He's a strong man. Not just strong physically, but he's strong in character. In other words, I know I can trust this man. I know that this man will never hurt me. Like it said there in verse 14, his hands are rods of silver. She's not afraid of that man's hands. She's not ever afraid of him harming her with his hands or any of those things. His legs there, they never buckle. In other words, she knows that he's always going to be her support. And his mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. In other words, every inch of him, everything about him, his character, inward and outward, everything. He's my man, she's saying, and I'm in love with him. And she said, this is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Man, do you know what this means? It means that this woman, his wife, she knew her husband intimately. Ladies, listen to me. You are never going to know your husband and husbands. You're never going to know your wives if you don't take time to communicate and talk about real things in your life. Amen? I'm not talking of, listen, kids need braces. That's okay, but that's really intimate, isn't it? No, it's where you talk to one another, where you plan together, where you dream together, where you live life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit together, knowing that God is with you always. And she's sitting here and she says, listen, I love this man and I love this, and this is my friend. This is my friend. There's something, I say this to every time I have marriage counseling. I say, listen, are you friends? Well, you know, I like hanging out with the guys. I know you need some male bonding. Okay, good. I mean, you're not getting enough in high school and college, and you know, now you still have to have it. Okay, good. Isn't male bonding weird? Today is my best friend's birthday who led me to Jesus Christ. I called late last night and prayed with him and talked with him. And he's a year younger than I am, and I said, well, tomorrow's the big day, buddy. He says, I don't want to talk to you about it. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, I sent you a present. How much money did you spend? I said, I didn't spend any money. I said, I copied something and I sent it to you. Well, I don't want it. I said, dear God, are you walking with the Lord or the devil? I said, we all age. I said, now go live. Live every day of your life. Don't let anything rob you from your life. Amen. Amen. I tell you, this is a generation, I swear, that, you know, If it's not working out, it's just my joy is gone. If I don't have this, my joy is gone. If I can't have this in this way, have it right now, my joy is gone. That's not the way to live. Man, listen, if you need something, get on your knees and go into prayer. God knows what you need and He'll take care of you. She says, listen, I know my husband and here's who he is to me. He's my friend. He's my friend. He's my only friend. He is my true best friend. And I tell you, I like that. And that's the way it should be in marriage. Listen to me. Let me say something to you. You know, when I started putting this message together last night and thinking about it, I want to be very transparent with you and honest. I go through here and I say, okay, I know what to say. I know what how to put it all together and say, okay, you need to be intimate. You know, you need to treat best for. Listen, that's all true. But you know what the truth of the matter is about your marriage? Let me give you a bottom line, because I'm a bottom line man, okay? The bottom line is this. The main problem with marriages today is that they don't need counseling. I'm beginning to where I think marriage counseling, well, I'm beginning to believe like J. Vernon McGee. You know what? J. Vernon McGee said, I ain't counseling anyone. You want counsel? He just what he says, go to your Bible. Get on your knees. Listen, I think that's wise counsel. Because here's what I've learned is that, you know, the main problem is that couples that are married, that call themselves Christians, the man and the woman, every time there's a problem, here's really the truth. They really don't want Jesus to be the Lord of their marriage. Well, Bill, that didn't help. Well, it's the truth. Do you understand? Jesus is the Lord of your marriage. It's not her will. It's not your will. It's His will. Amen? You go to the Word of God and you say, well, honey, I know you love the Lord. Or she'll go to you, well, honey, I know you love the Lord, but here's what God says. And you both need to say, you know what? That's what the Lord says. Let's get down on our knees and repent, and let's do what God says, because God knows how marriages should be run. He knows what should be in a marriage. It's wrong for a man to think he can just walk in and walk all over his wife. That's sin, folks. It's rude and it's sin. Listen, you've heard it 1,000 times. You know, God didn't take you from Adam's head. He didn't take you from Adam's feet. You know, because God doesn't want you, the Lord over you. He doesn't want you to walk over your wife. He took him from where? Adam's side, from his rib. Why? Because he wants his wife to be what? His prime rib. You know what I mean? Amen? And that's where he wants. He wants her to be by your side. She's your helpmate for you to walk through this life together, honoring God together, submitting yourselves unto the Lord, Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves unto the Lord. How? In the fear of God. And that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the foundation of your marriage. So, you know, you can try to read all the self-help books you want, go to all this counseling, but really what's needed is for you to just to do what God says, and that you honor God. Let Him be the Lord of your marriage and the Lord of your children. Do what He says. Be faithful. Teach them to pray. Teach your children to pray. Pray with your family. Quit yelling at one another and love one another. My gosh, think of all the time in the church that's wasted with couples who just beat each other up every day. Don't do that. Don't do that anymore. If you're doing it, stop it and say it's sin. And start mending that marriage back together. Now, it says in chapter 6, it says, they cry out to her and they say, where's your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? And she says this, my beloved has gone to his garden. I like that. She knows where to find him. In other words, she saw the myrrh on the handle. She knows where he's at. This is probably his favorite place to go to. I don't know. I know where my beloved has gone to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed his flock in the gardens, and to gather lilies. Listen to me. When you have an argument, women, ladies, I say this in tenderness, don't go home to mama. Don't do that. Don't get on the phone with your favorite girlfriend and say, you know what happened? Don't do that. Go to the Lord. And men, you don't run home to mama either. You know, and don't run down there to your, I'm going to go play pool, or I'm going to, no, we're going to go work on my car, you know, we're going to go fishing for 5 days. And no, come on, guys, that's not the way it is. No, she says, I know where he's at. Boy, that's good. I remember one time my wife, somebody was saying something to her about me in my first pastorate, and she said, I always know where my husband is when he's not with me. Always. I like that. I want her to know where I'm at, and I want to know where she's at. We have that bond, that trust. She says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. What is she saying? She's coming to grips with the true reality. She's saying, you know what? He came home late, and you know what? I just completely shunned him. And he's devoted to his work, but I know he's devoted to me as well. Now, listen, the main thing that I see here in this text is this, is that she needs reassurance. You know, whenever you have a fight, there has to be that where you go to one another and you reassure one another of your love to one another. And that's what she was doing, because she needs to be reassured in her heart, because she feels like, okay, Solomon, I know that I was wrong in what I did. And I want you to listen to his words now. Listen very carefully to to what he says. And for his first words are not, you know what? I found you down there in the vineyard working for your brothers, and they were really working you to death. That's not what he said. He wasn't cruel at all. He praises her. He doesn't rebuke her. Look, he says, this is what Solomon says to her. He says, oh, my love. In other words, she found him, see? He's probably sitting there just hanging out in the garden, I don't know, feeding one of his 5,000 horses or something. I have no idea. He says, oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tisra, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. What did he just say? He said, every time I'm around you, my knees are weak. That's what he's telling her. He says, turn your eyes away from me, for they have overwhelmed me or overcome me. And your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. In other words, she's probably, I think she's crying personally, or she has tears in her eyes. And he says, don't look at me. I can't take it. You're breaking my heart. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none of them is bearing among them. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. Listen to me. What is Solomon doing? Solomon is saying the exact same words to her he said on his wedding night. The exact same words. And he means it. And what he's doing is saying this. Listen, I love you. I've always loved you. And just because we had an argument, just because you were upset or thought that I didn't love you because I left, listen, I want to reassure you that you are mine and I am yours and we're in it for the long run. And that's exactly what he was doing. And that's exactly, men, what we need to do, and women as well. We need to do that one to another. He says, there are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one. The only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughter saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines, they praised her. What is he doing? He's reassuring her all over again, saying, listen, there's absolutely no one like you. You're the one I love forever. And who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? I went down to the garden. Now here she goes. She says, I went down to the garden of nuts. Isn't that a strange garden of nuts? I don't know. Just like a bunch of crazy people there or something. I don't know. To see the verdure of the valley. To see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranates had bloomed. Now she goes down there and look what happens. Before I was even aware, in other words, she was caught off guard, my soul had made me as the chariots of my noble people. What did Solomon do? Solomon placed her in the royal carriage and swooped her away, if that's a word. Why? She realizes, not only does he love her, but she's still queen in his eyes and his queen. And look what happens. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon you. And so the Shulamite now says, what would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the dance of two camps. The dance of two camps. May I be honest with you? I had trouble with verse 13, so I went to every commentary in the world, and you know what they all said? We don't know what it means either. So I just said, listen, I don't know what it means either, but I like it. I like it. The dance of two camps. I just like that. Matter of fact, I think maybe that when we think about the dance of two camps, that maybe this arguing, maybe this conflict, when it's handled right, it made them closer. You know, you have to work through your problems. You can't let your problems overcome you in your marriage, and you're going to have problems in your marriage. Amen? I want you to stay right there in your Bibles, and I want you to go back to chapter 5 with me, and I want you to look at verse 2. She says, I sleep, but my heart is awake, meaning, remember, Solomon is in her heart. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me. Let me say that again. He knocks, saying, open for me. When I was looking at that, and I realized that Solomon, he only tried to get in once. Maybe he knocked, I don't know how it happened, but he was knocking, and she would not let him in. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, first of all, I always ask a question about me. I said, am I asleep and you're knocking, but I'm not letting you in? I said, is Calvary Chapel asleep? Now, I'm not worried about the other churches. I'm not their shepherd. I'm not their pastor. But I looked at this and I said, whoa. If Solomon is the representation here or symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Shulamite, the church, okay? If in that typology teaching, because it can be taught that way. I look at that and I say, wow, Jesus wants to be intimate with you. Jesus wants to be intimate with me. And I look at that and I say, ah, the cost of intimacy. I'm asleep. I'm resting. I'm in my bed. I've washed my feet. Oh, Lord, come back tomorrow. Leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. Hello. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is maybe tonight, that is a condition of the church, that we are so content that the church today, Calvary, us, that maybe you are so content with your walk or so content where you are in your spiritual journey with Christ that you don't want to get up, that you don't want to rise and open the door when the Lord knocks. I'm telling you this, that God has been knocking on the heart of this church. And when God knocks on the heart of a church, let me tell you what you can expect. You can expect His grace, His anointing, His power, His direction, and yes, sacrifice. Do you understand? Intimacy costs you something. To be intimate with Jesus will always cost you something. To be intimate with your wife or your husband will cost you. You have to love them and honor them. And if Jesus is knocking, here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that we come to this place and we open the door here and we smell the fragrance of Christ everywhere, but He's not here. Just like she opened the door and there was the fragrance of Solomon going, oh, He was here, my beloved was here, but He's not here now. Oh, why did I procrastinate? Why didn't I get up when the Lord told me? He told me to obey, to move into this, to be this, or to do this, to move into my gifting, or to give, or do the things. Why didn't I do it? I'll tell you why. You didn't want to. You didn't want to. And so you go there when you finally say, okay, I'm going to do it. And you expect to find the anointing. You expect to find Christ. But you know what you find? You go, what is that? That's the Lord. But I missed Him. He left His love note. He left that myrrh dripping on the door. I can smell Him. I was so close, but I did not obey Him. Listen, Mark 1:17 says this. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Speaking to the disciples, you check out verse 18. What did it say? Immediately. Immediately. Everyone say that. Immediately. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Immediately they did something. They left their nets and got up and followed Him, and they smelled the fragrance of Christ forever. Amen? Amen? Listen to me. God is knocking on the door of this church, and it's time for you when God knocks on the door of your heart and He says, get up. Stop what you're doing. I need you to do this now for me. Then you need to obey, or all you're going to experience in your life is the aroma of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but you won't find His presence. Do you hear me? See, when He knocks and you open the door, His presence is right there. And when you are in the presence of the Lord, my Bible says there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen? Amen. This is a word for you tonight. For you tonight. And I challenge you, when He knocks, open up your heart. He calls you to serve. He calls you to give. He calls you to witness, whatever it might be. Don't let complacency, don't let the cost of intimacy, it's just too high. Lord, it's not convenient. Listen, there is never going to be a convenient time to serve Jesus. Amen? Serve Him now while there's time. This church will make a decision in the near future. Do you want just the fragrance of Christ? Or do you want the presence of Christ. Amen.
Pastor Bill continues his study of Song of Solomon on tomorrow's program, so please tune in again, won't you? And thanks as always for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.